Good evening and welcome into Napper Tandies. We are brought to you by the Fighting Camel Club. This is Camel Call Live. We are so happy to be coming to you live from Napper Tandies Public House and Restaurant in downtown Anger. This is a place for great food, great drinks, and fantastic service. And we are just 8 miles away from Campbell's campus. Online at nappertandiespublichouse.com and on Instagram at Napper Tandies Anger. My name is Chris Amyer. We have a great show for you tonight. Coming up, we will talk with Campbell head football coach Braxton Harris as we recap that thrilling 2-overtime win last week. And we'll get you set for our home game versus Western Carolina coming up this Saturday at 3:30. Before we get to our first guest, what a run it has been for one of our fall teams, Campbell Volleyball. Greg Gorl's bunch has won 7 of their last 8. They are 8-3 on the season with only 3 losses coming to Power 4 teams. They've lost to Clemson, South Carolina, and Northwestern. They are 8-0 against everybody else. They start conference play tomorrow at William & Mary. They will be back in Buies Creek next Friday and Saturday to take on Charleston. And speaking of a good run, joining me now is Campbell Headman soccer coach Dustin Fonder. His team unbeaten in their last 3 matches, 6 of their last 7 unbeaten, with the only loss in that stretch to top 5 ranked Wake Forest, and that was by a goal. Tomorrow, Campbell is at Elon. A win would vault the Camels to the top of the standings in the CAA South Division and give coach Dustin Fonder his 100th win as a Camel head coach. Now, coach, if you throw in the 78 wins you had in 8 seasons at High Point before you came here, nearly 200 career wins, what will that milestone mean to you?
It'll be incredibly special because I had a lot of good assistant coaches and players over the years, and I think it'll be a testament to all the hard work they put in.
It is, coach, just amazing when you think of that many wins. You have 6 Big South trophies since 2018, 3 NCAA appearances, an NCAA win. What are some of your most memorable wins when you think about it?
Yeah, I mean, of course, the Big South championships mean a lot. It opened the door to get us into the NCAA tournament. And then I think the signature win for us was beating JMU back in 2019 in the first round of the NCAAs, advancing to play number 1 overall seed Virginia. I think, you know, and to go toe-to-toe with them really says a lot about the program we have and the players we've had over the years.
You know, Elon, who you could get win number 100 against, coach, that is one of the coaching stops that you had. And in fact, it was your first D1 stop as an assistant. Does it feel like you have to go back 30 years to when you started coaching? Does it feel like you've been coaching for that long?
No, it's fun. I feel like I haven't worked a day in my life. I enjoy what I do. I just think Elon was a great opportunity for me back early in my career. I was in Division III, coaching men's and women's soccer, winning conference championships, but still at the D3 level, and I wanted to break into Division I. Elon was fortunate enough to give me an opportunity to be the top assistant there and the recruiting coordinator, and from there we were able to put that program on the map, and it opened up my first head coaching opportunity at High Point University.
We would probably have another hour, really, to answer this question, but how much has coaching at the D1 level changed in the last 30 years?
I think it's changed a lot. There's really no bad programs in Division I anymore. I think, you know, 20 years ago there were certain programs that couldn't compete, whether it was budgets or whatever it may be. There were some teams where you could schedule, and before you got off the bus you knew it was a win. That's not the case anymore. Every single game is a grind. I said this to our team the other day. Every team's got a strength coach. Every team's got a nutritionist. Every team's got assistant coaches that are putting a lot into the game plan. So you can't just show up and win. You've got to counteract that by being better than people that are prepared.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it changes year to year, too, as we talk about. Now, you talk about how your college coaching career really began at Roanoke College, where you began, and you were a two-sport athlete there. You were the Division III Player of the Year in 1993, and you also hold the career assist record in men's basketball at the college. So I'll ask you 2 things, Coach. Number 1, who was Dustin Fonder, the soccer player? What were you like?
I think, I was a goal scorer, an assist getter. I mean, a person that could get points. It's ironic. I started my career playing center back, which is the last line of defense. But by my senior year, they moved me to an attacking midfield, and that's when I erupted for a big, big season of 20-plus goals, 20-plus assists, and was fortunate enough to win National Player of the Year that year and advance really far in the NCAA tournament. And then on the heels of that, right when that season ended, we went into basketball. We ended up going 26-1 that year. We're number one team in the country going to the NCAA tournament and ended up getting bounced in the second round, big-time upset. But what a senior year it was to go that far on both sports and to leave a legacy at that school.
I know things were a little bit different back then, but how did you balance those two and were able to excel at those two as well?
You know, I just enjoyed training. I enjoyed working out. I enjoyed enjoyed sports. I mean, that's why I coach today. I'm passionate about sports, and I was able to put the work in over the summer to prepare for soccer, and then coming out of the soccer season, you're already fit, so you jump into basketball fit. Now you just got to refine your skills and your shooting and things like that. But I never had a problem balancing it. I just think I put a lot of time into it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, Coach, let's get to your squad right now. Unbeaten stretch, what have you seen from your boys over this first month of the season?
A really good commitment to believing in one another, playing for one another. You know, you don't always have to be the most talented team to be successful. We've got a lot of bought-in guys, and I think that's sometimes more important than being talented is buying in and fighting for the guy to the right of you, to the left of you, front of you, back of you, and we've got that.
You've put together a tough schedule again. Just a couple of weeks ago, you were playing the number four ranked team in the nation. What does a tough non-conference schedule do for you?
I think the CAA is a really tough league, and we have to play games non-conference to prepare for CAA play. So you play a Wake Forest on the road, you're going to learn something. You're going to find something out about your group. Still upset we didn't get a tie on the night. We missed a sitter, you know, last minute of the game. But those type of games will make us more prepared for the stretch run in the CAA, and our goal is to make the tournament this year and advance in the tournament.
Well, speaking of the CAA, Coach, it's divided into two divisions this year. So you play each team in your South Division, Charleston, William & Mary, Elon, UNCW. You play each of them twice. How does that change the dynamic of conference play?
I just think it makes it that much more difficult because you see a team once, you can prepare, maybe have a game plan that throws them off, and it buys you 15 minutes here or 30 minutes there where you have them figuring things out, and maybe that's when you can take a game away from an opponent. But now playing a team twice, you know them inside and out, they know you inside and out. It's going to make for really tough games the second time around, and I think it's also going to make for some bad blood because we could potentially see them for a third time in the conference tournament.
My goodness.
You know, and Elon's an hour away, Wilmington an hour and 15 minutes away. We've got some natural rivalries based on geography, and those rivalries are going to gain more attention and more difficulty because we're going to see each other so often. There's just going to be naturally bad blood.
Yeah, so great for the fans, but for the coaches, I mean, it's got to be a headache. All the adjustments you have to make just week to week, right?
Correct. So I think, you know, for the fans, it's going to be awesome. And for our players, you know, to beat a team twice in the league or something, maybe something you can put a feather in your cap. But for me, it's a nightmare because I've got to guard against our guys being too emotional and getting too many cards or too many fouls. And we got to dial it back. And even though it's a conference game, you got to have really good emotional control.
What can you tell us about the Elon squad that you're gonna take on tomorrow?
Really good, well-coached team. Coach Reeves does a great job. They're picked to win the league, so they're picked for a reason. So they were voted by our peers as the best team in the league. That being said, we go there looking to win.
Absolutely. All right, another thing for this conference schedule, since you got into the CAA, you play two games a week, but your midweek game is usually not conference. You usually play a conference game on the weekends. What does that schedule do for you guys?
It allows us the flexibility of playing some really good non-conference games because we know every midweek now is going to be a non-conference because the CAA is our weekend game. And it also allows us the flexibility within conference. We can play when it's our turn to host, say Elon, Wilmington, Charleston, whoever it may be. We have Friday, Saturday, or Sunday to get that game in. So it allows us some scheduling flexibility to put a game on a Friday night and not have to compete with football on a Saturday or to move it to a Sunday because it makes more sense for our campus to host it on a Sunday. So I think the flexibility of CAA having a three-day window for your weekend game allows you to really manipulate the midweek schedule the way you want it.
Absolutely. All right, now you've talked about your team as a whole has played so good as a team. Which of your student-athletes have really stood out for you so far this far into the season?
Yeah, we've had really good leadership out of Jake Roberts and Lillian Fischel in the back. A newcomer, Danny Santo Rosa, has done a great job at right back for us. And he's only got 1 year of eligibility, but we're glad he's here. And then up front in our attack, I think it's kind of led by Philippe Matos and Marco Wright are impact guys for us. But we're getting lifts everywhere. I mean, Ethan Roberts is our leading goal scorer, and he's a senior and he deserves
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Coach, you have been now a part of this program for over a decade. So you have built your own alumni base. You have one of your former student athletes that came in here to see you that works up in Raleigh now. When you return home on October 4th versus Charleston, it's Alumni Day. You know the rich history of Campbell soccer. I mean, they were a great NAIA team. They were a great small school team, ranked in the nation, including your guys, and getting win. What is it like to be a part of this tradition?
No, it's the program's bigger than any individual, and I think it's a proud program that's won for 30-plus years. So we always look forward to Alumni Day just because we get to meet people from the past that played in the program and have so much passion for the program. Last year we had an unbelievable turnout, probably 40-plus alumni back. We had an alumni game, a social, a golf outing. This year we encourage the alumni to RSVP soon because we don't have the same numbers yet. But I think a lot of people are going to be late RSVPs, and we'll get to where we want to be. But we want to have 20-plus guys back so we can do an alumni game. We can honor them at halftime, and we can play some golf with them on Sunday.
Well,
so
speaking of alumni, you know, we have two generations, now three generations of alumni. I think it's great the guys, when the program started, a bunch of guys came down from the Northeast, like the South, like the Southern girls that they found, and then they not only settled here, then they started coaching soccer, coaching travel teams, coaching in college, and so you have this tree of Campbell alumni everywhere, don't you?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Really, the Campbell tree is very big, and there's a lot of prestigious coaches and former players that graduated from Campbell, and we're excited to honor them anytime we can and bring them back to campus. We also, the campus has changed immensely since a lot of them played here.
Yeah.
And so we like to show off Eakes Athletic Complex, our stadium, our bench area, just all the upgrades we've had over the years. We thank them for building that for us.
And also, Coach, as you know, in the near term, guys from this golden generation of Campbell soccer, you have so many guys playing professionally on Saturday. That's got to warm your heart as well.
It's awesome. Every time I get a text or we send a text out like congrats on your goal or whatever, they're immediately right texting us back, and we're trading pictures and different things. When we win a game, the amount of texts we get on the bus on the way back from 5 to 10 years worth of alumni, it's incredible. And we love that support, and we really appreciate it.
Well, and we appreciate you, Coach. It's Dustin Fonder. Remember that alumni date is October 4th. You can go to GoCamels.com. and at GoCamels MSOC to find out more information. And his guys will take on Elon tomorrow at 7 p.m. You can watch it on ESPN+. And Campbell will finally return home, which seems like a long break, October 4th, that Alumni Day game against Charleston at 6 p.m. Coach, thank you so much for taking time out.
No, thanks for having me. I appreciate you letting me be ambassador for our team. One reminder on the Elon game, it's actually on Flow Sports. We're
that's
the CAA.
Right. The Elon game on Flow Sports, that's right.
So
the last one on
ESPN. We don't want
Plus.
Anyone to miss it, so make sure it's on Flow Sports. But thanks once again for having us, and this show's awesome. Keep it going.
Thank you so much. That's Coach Dustin Fonder. He will be hunting for his 100th win tomorrow, 7 o'clock, at Elon on Flow Sports. We will be back after the break with Campbell head football coach Braxton Harris.
Hey, Campbell fans, this is Braxton Harris, and I've got one question for you. Are you ready for game day? Well, get your game face on, because Campbell's 2025 football season is here. We're bringing the energy, the grit, and the passion, and we want you to be right there with us. But hey, game day is just the beginning. You want to make a real impact? Then it's time to step up and join the Fighting Camel Club. Being a part of the Fighting Camel Club means you become the team behind the team, fueling scholarships, training, and academic success for not just our football athletes, but all 21 of our sports. When you join, you're not just a fan, you're a game changer. So what do you say, Camel Nation? Let's make a difference together. Join the Fighting Camel Club today and help us build champions on the field, in the classroom, and beyond.
Well, believe it or not, folks, after this weekend's contest at home against Western Carolina, we've just got three more home games at Barker Lane Stadium. Homecoming will be the next time we're back at home after this weekend. It's October 18th. Then we've got back-to-back November games, William and Mary on November 8th and Elon on November 15th. So kids 12 and under in for free again this season. But we would love to see you out at Barker Lane Stadium against Western Carolina coming up at 3:30 on Saturday. Look, it's going to rain sometime Saturday, but I've talked to some people. It's not going to rain between about 3 and 7. So you can come out, and we all have raincoats, right? Right, Coach?
Absolutely. What's a little rain? It was hot today, so I bet the rain will feel good.
No doubt. No doubt. Like, it poured just before the show, and now it's dry. So please come out. Don't worry about what the weather guys are going to say. Okay, joining me now, I've already turned his mic on, but in his second season, head coach of the Fighting Camels, he's our football coach, Braxton Harris. And, Coach, you can hear it, man. Like, my voice is just now recovering. If this show was on Tuesday, Lindell would be up here with his golden pipe saying it. It was that kind of game. And I have been lucky enough to call about 150 Campbell football games now over my 15 seasons here. I do not think I have ever been a part of one not only so exciting, but a 50-48 two overtime win with so many peaks and valleys. I can't imagine how you were feeling in the middle of it all down on the sidelines.
Yeah, you know, that was a big win for a lot of things. You know, when you start off and you lost the Rhode Island game, and then you go to ECU, and then you lost that heartbreaker to Furman right there at the end. Our guys needed to win that ball game, and being able to win that ball game at home, that's something we talked about, is we got to win football games at home. We had two home games, and we had great crowds at Barker Lane, right? Engaged crowds, people cheering, excitement about football. That we got to win in those environments. Our university's doing a great job getting those people out and being on campus. Our student section, the Creek Freaks, phenomenal. 2 weeks in a row out there bringing the juice every weekend right there in that spot. So to win those games and to be able to build off of those things, that's huge in that spot, right? So that's the momentum outside of the game, right? But the piece in the game is that gets us to 1-1 in CAA play, right? We're two games into CAA, and we're 1-1 right there. If you remember last year, we only won one conference game right now. And so that puts us at 1-1, ties last year already, but still got six conference games on the horizon that we're really excited about the opportunity to be able to go compete right there. And so I think it also gave our guys confidence that they found a way to win, right? When you're building something, everything's got to go according to the plan. We have a plan to win. We have five things that we say you have to do, these five things to win. And you statistically, 83% of the time, if you do three of them, you win the ball game. And that's over 3 years of study. We only won one out of the five, right? And so statistically what we did is we found a way to win. Good football teams find a way to win, and that's what our kids did on Saturday. And it's so exciting to be able to see.
Absolutely. The fact that you were not only into really good teams, but had leads to be able to finish it. I know that's something you have always said. You beat on that. You got to be better in the fourth quarter, and you guys were better in the fourth quarter and in overtime.
Yeah, you know, you won the first quarter 7-0 after the first quarter. That was the first time that we had gotten out first and scored first. And so we talk about starting fast, and that was the first time that we scored first in a ball game this year, period. And so that was a piece that we were able to move forward in, and being able to go finish, right? And our kids didn't flinch. We practice overtime stuff during practice. We practice 2-minute situations. We practice 2-point plays all year long. And so to see it all come together in fruition, our kids were really calm. Our coaches did a great job being calm in those situations, and it was fun to see them execute.
You had told me when Cam Sixkiller got the job as starting quarterback, and again, Mike Chandler II did such a phenomenal job at the end of last year, was like, okay, well, what is it about this guy? And you're like, you know what, when he was a freshman, I saw him behind not a very good line, had a rough day, he just kept coming and coming and coming, and I said, when in a couple of years, he's going to be a guy that I want on my team. You talk about his resilience. You saw it there. You saw it then. He showed a lot, leading your team back with 3 minutes to go after throwing a pick six. I mean, that is hard to come back from, and he did it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and being a quarterback, being a Division I college quarterback is not easy, and it's the most – Besides me, he's the next most criticized person in college football, right? And that's part of it. We understand that, and he understands that. But that kid makes a decision every single time the ball snapped. Every single play, he's making a pre-snap and a post-snap decision. And so to look at his bad decisions, and there's nobody that hates it worse than him, but that kid gave us a chance to win the ball game. He kept us in the chance to win the ball game. We got a 3rd and 10, I think it was in the first half, 3rd and 10 going towards our scoreboard. And he takes off and scrambles for 15 and gets a first down. Keeps drives long. That allows us to score a touchdown. So that equals 7 points right there. He just finds a way every single week to get better and to give our football team a chance to win. And good quarterbacks, they make the players around them better. And that's exactly what he's done the last 2 weeks.
He was throwing the ball for the second straight week a lot to Randall King, your receiver from nearby Rocky Mount, a sophomore. He tied a Campbell record with 4 TDs. 8 catches for 142 yards, and he came up really big when you needed him the most.
Yeah, absolutely. He's done a great job for us this season and continues to do that. You know, there's a lot of people that go into those equations. You look at Dante Jones on the offensive line that was able to protect. You see running backs protecting in coverage. You see guys running great routes. You see tight ends being able to do those things. There's a lot of pieces that go into those puzzles for guys like Cam and then guys like Randall that get the attention of the results. There's a lot of people that are part of that make the play but don't make the result.
Hey, you got ahead of me a little bit. I was going to talk about your offensive line. Look, you had some injuries on the offensive line. You were asking guys to play different positions, to start when they're usually not up to that. You also challenged your running back room to get off the snide, and they certainly did. 220 yards of rushing, that was a big game for your backs and for your line.
Yeah, absolutely. They did a great job. You know, and I think Coach Horner, Coach Dace, Coach Chappelli have done a really good job with our O-line, tight ends, and running backs to be able to get those guys better. Like, you look at where we were at Rhode Island, where we were now, we're better than we were, right? And you say, but you've lost guys. You're correct, but we've developed guys along the way. And I think that's the true measure of coaching is development of guys. I do owe those guys dinner. They made me a bet if they rushed for over 200 that they got dinner.
You're kidding me, really?
Absolutely, and I'm gladly taking them to dinner. No problem with that. If you rush for over 200 yards, dinner's on me for sure. No doubt.
Bring them to Napper Tandy's. 557 yards of total offense. Matt Kubik, I love the fact that you saw him open up the whole playbook and set up plays from a couple of weeks before. I just thought that the offense was firing on a cylinder that we had yet to see this year.
Yeah, Matt's a rock star. Matt does a great job. You know, just the creativity. A lot of us as in coaching, we have our system and our way of doing things. And you look at all the pieces that he's done and he's moved guys around and find ways to get them the ball in creative ways to be able to find out what their skill set is best. Man, that's a ball coach. And Matt Kubik, he's a ball coach right there. He does it every single week. He's been doing it last year. He gave us a lot of opportunities to win ball games that the reality probably weren't good enough to be able to go win, but he gave us opportunities to do that.
I know it doesn't look like it on the final box score, Coach, but you know as well as I did, your defense played a whale of a game. I mean, they had given up just 2 touchdowns to the opposing offense until the last of the game.
Yeah, you know, you look at it, they gave up 1 defensive touchdown in the first half, right? We had the kickoff return for a touchdown, so it should have been 21-7 going in half. And then we had a pick six, so there's another 7 right there. And then there's 13 points in overtime that if you're playing a four-quarter game, so you're talking about, you know, 28 points in a ball game that aren't really on the defense in that spot, so to say. And I thought they did a really good job. One of the things that we really emphasized was explosive pass plays. Against Rhode Island and Furman, we gave up 13 explosive pass plays. We gave up 2 this past week. One of them was a great catch by a kid who was contested. He makes a great catch. Tipped your hat to him going down the road. But that kids have done a really good job. Our defensive line did a really good job. They got that quarterback off his spot. He had to be able to scramble. When you scramble, you limit the field, right? The field doesn't become wide open. Whichever way he breaks, you're talking about half at best. If he breaks contain too much, it's a third of the field that you have to defend. I thought that was a huge piece of those explosive play that we were able to eliminate.
So many heroes for you on defense. One guy that has been consistent for years now, Logan Liverman, he led the team with 10 tackles. And this week, which I know makes you more proud than any statistics he has on the field, he was named a semifinalist to the William V. Campbell Trophy. No relation, but it recognizes an individual as the absolute best scholar athlete in the nation. They look at academic success, football performance, and exemplary leadership. And this is not just an FCS award. This is an FCS and FBS award. and he is one of the few that has been named a semifinalist.
Yeah, that award, how you just described it, that describes Logan to a T, right? As a University at Campbell, we should be really proud of guys like Logan Livermont. Came in here as a walk-on, earned his way a scholarship. He played for me when I was here before as a walk-on linebacker. Just continued to work, does all the right things. He's a great student athlete. He's in the classroom. He's in the community. He's on campus. And he's the leader of that group right there for sure. And we got a lot to be proud of. And we got a lot of guys that are exactly like Logan. We're excited to be around.
This is hard to believe, Coach, because I know it's been close games and travel and a whole lot of things, but we're a third of the way through the season right now. 1-1, of course, in the CAA. What have you really liked about your team, seeing them through the first month?
Yeah, you know they come out every Tuesday and they go to work, right? They don't complain. They don't blame anybody. They just go back to work. The last 2 weeks, last week we talked about it going into that game. They statistically, we had our best week of work Tuesday and Wednesday than we ever had. We had a faster Wednesday practice than Tuesday, which that's not normal because usually Wednesday you're kind of sore from a Tuesday practice. Well, then this week they come in and they have a faster Wednesday practice again than they did Tuesday. Over half our guys reached over 90% of their top speed on a Wednesday practice. And so you see the strain. And by the way, it was pretty hot yesterday. It was pretty humid, probably one of the hotter days we've had here. And so see our guys strain in that environment. I just think it shows you the character of these kids. And that's exactly what we said 21, 22 months ago when we started this journey, is that we had to bring the quality and the fit of kid to Campbell football, to Campbell University. And you're seeing it in the results and who they are and what the actions they put on the field, in the classroom, in the community.
And I can say, last week you talked about how a disappointing loss and your guys just got right back to work and started doing it. What is what's the atmosphere like in the field house after an epic win like that?
Went back to work on Tuesday. Just went back to work on Tuesday, and they, I think they got a taste of it, and so you want more of it, right? We want winning to be contagious, right? And when you have those feelings, you have those emotions, when you feel like giving up, when you feel like things are hard, when you feel like this, you go back to those feelings, right? And you go back to those emotions, and you have to make the choices that get you back to those things again. And so that's what our kids have done this week. It's not a surprise to me. They've done it since January that we've been together. Every challenge you put in front of them, they've come back and been able to do it again and again.
Campbell with another big challenge coming up this Saturday. They will take on Western Carolina, and we will preview that game coming up next after the break. This is Camel Call Live from Napper Tandy's in Anger. Welcome back to Campbell Call Live, coming to you from Napper Tandy's in downtown Anger with Campbell head football coach Braxton Harris. The Fighting Campbell Club and the Alumni Association, they put together a really fun tailgate. They had a great one when Campbell was up at ECU, and they're going to be at NC State as Campbell's first ever meeting with the Wolfpack. It's all you can eat. The tent's already set up. Go to GoCamels.com for more information. Before we talk about the NC State game, of course, this Saturday, another big one. We go back out of conference into the SoCon again. Western Carolina out of the SoCon. They have played a really, really tough schedule, just like Campbell. They picked up their first win of the season. They hung 50 on Samford in regulation last week. What can you tell me, Coach, about the Catamounts, who were ranked in the top 25 coming into the season?
Yeah, you know, they get their quarterback this past week against Samford, you know, and he was out for the first 3 weeks, and that team was 0-3. And like I said, same way everybody in FCS, the first three games are tough ball games, right? You look at there's a lot of people that are 0-3 that are really good football teams in FCS college football after the first 3 weeks. And their quarterback was out the first 3 weeks. He was their guy going into the season. I don't know why he was out. He just didn't play in that. And then the first game back was against Samford, and you see the results right there. I mean, put up 560 yards passing. Just a typical Kerwin Bell football team. They want to throw the football all around the park. They're going to motion 70% of their offensive plays. They're going to do everything there. defensively, they're moving around, being able to create havoc. It's kind of who they are, right? They're going to be based off speed. They're going to try to create havoc on your eyes on our offense or on defensive side with their offense. And then defensively, they're going to give you a lot of things, and they're going to create a lot of negative plays. They do one of the stats we look at is stuff plays, and stuff plays are 0 yard gains or negative yard plays. And their defense has one of the highest stuff percentages of anybody in the country because they create so many negative plays. And so that's kind of how they play the game. They do a really good job. They know who they are, and they play really fast. They got some receivers that are just absolute burners. And we're going to have our hands full this Saturday. This is not a everybody sees a 1-3 football team, and they're just like us. A 1-3 football team is not a bad football team. It's going to be two good football teams. I think it's going to be a great game, just like it was last time up in Cullowhee. And so we're excited for the opportunity.
When you talk about playing a team like that with offense, with so many motions and everything like that, how do you practice for something like that?
Yeah, it's kind of like a Chinese fire drill a little bit. Everybody's moving around in a ton of different places all over the place, kind of like fire ants spreading, right? But, it goes back to your eyes on the defense side. You got to be able to take your eyes, and you can't go off of what you think or what you think they could do. You have to go off what you see, right? And you've got to be as literal as possible. Is it this many guys? Is it this many guys? Where's the back? Where's the tight end? To be able to tell us that, where they're motioning, why are they motioning over there, what are they getting to out of that formation, and trying to understand conceptually what formation are they in, what formation are they getting to, and being able to understand where he's leaving from and where he's going right there.
You had an incredible win last year when they were top 25, and again, if they would have had their quarterback for the first three games of the season, I believe they would still be in the top 25 right where they were preseason. How has their team changed, or are you seeing much of the same?
No, I mean, they're a good football team every single week, you know, and they got their guy back at quarterback. And, you know, if you got a quarterback like we do, you got a chance to be a good football team. And they got their guy back, and they're a really good football team because of that. And, you know, the speed in which they play, I mean, they played Gardner Webb at home. They played Elon at home, and they played Wake Forest and then Samford at home. So, those are good football teams that they're playing right there, and they got their guy back, and so they're going to be ready to go. And for them, everything is on point for them. They got their guy back. They got their win. We got to make sure that we play at a high level.
We were talking a little earlier about how the forecast, I think it's going to be fine for game time. The temperatures are going to be great, a lot cooler than it's been the last couple of days. If there is a little bit of moisture either on the field or during warm-ups or on the ball, can you practice? Do you practice? How do you do that when you know that some weather could be a possibility?
Yeah, you know, we've done different things with a wet ball drill. If you remember in the Rhode Island game, we were at week one, and we had an absolute downpour for the whole pregame. So we got plenty of reps of that as well, of how to be able to handle a wet ball in pregame.
I forgot about that. That's how long this season has been. So.
Man, I wore the wrong gear out in pregame, and I'm just completely soaked. I'm like, what else do I have because I can't wear this? And so we've gotten some of those experiences. But, you know, the reality, I don't think it really affects us in our game, whether it rains, you know, whatever it is. We've got to be able to run the football on offense. There's no question about that. So you got to be able to do that if it's rain or not in that spot. And then we got to be able to throw and catch. We brought in some bigger receivers this past year that they got to be able to have strong hands and catch the ball in space.
I think we also saw during that game what a lot of people don't realize, because your guys who you thought were going to start have been, knock on wood, healthy for the majority of the year. But guys like the Joneses and guys like Hart, and there are guys that you had that were going to provide big-time depth to your wide receiver room. You can go 7, 8, 9 now. Everybody's finally healthy, right? And we saw that on Saturday, didn't we?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really excited going into the season with the receiver room and how we're able to recruit guys. Parker Jones has done a really, really good job for us. R.J. Hart's going to continue to get better the more reps he gets back into it, kind of getting him back healthy. You're going to continue to see a Barry Tate. I mean, you saw what he was able to do this past week with the reverse. He's able to do those things. We got a tight end that can be able to catch the ball. But we've got a whole slew of them, and they do a great job every single week, and they work their tail off every week. So it's not a feeling where you have to get a ball to a certain guy. Being able to put Mike Chandler out there at the receiver, just like we have, and that package is going to continue to expand to be able to find ways to incorporate him into it and attack with different ways with Mike. And so it isn't a system where you say, well, you only got this guy and you only got this guy. it allows Cam as a quarterback to work through his true progression and take what the defense gives him because he knows whoever gets the ball is going to be able to operate with it.
I don't know how he's grading out, but Cam from day one, especially being in a new team, in a new offense, he is so composed back there. He can run. He doesn't just take off when there's signs of trouble. Talk about his composure.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he really had – I mean, you're exactly right. You go into Rhode Island, his first start is at Rhode Island on the road, a night game, and the kid didn't flinch in that environment, right? Goes to ECU. He's done the – I mean, he's played at Texas A&M. He started against Texas A&M at their place, so he's played in front of 100,000 people. And I think the thing that's been really good about Cam knows who he is. He knows what his strengths are. He knows what his weaknesses are. I think Matt Kubik does a great job coaching him to understand those things. And I think he trusts the people around him, right? And when you do that, there's a level of calmness because you don't have to do everything. And he knows he doesn't have to do everything. And his job is to make the people around him better.
You talked a little bit about it. We won't be at Napper Dandies until another month or so. So you've already had a game at East Carolina. We talk about coming up in two Saturdays, you'll be at NC State for the first time ever at Carter-Finley Stadium in an atmosphere like that. These games are hard. You go in trying to win. Campbell does get a pretty good paycheck in him. But what does it do for you and the student-athletes and the program?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody loves to compete in those arenas, right? Like, I mean, I don't think anybody goes, it's not that big a deal. It's not that cool. No, it's really cool. It's really fun to be able to do that. But the thing that's been unique for me is I came from a D3 background, right, where you may have 1,000 people in the stands, right? And then you go into those environments like an ECU. We've been to Liberty. We've been to some other places, and we will this year. At the end of the day, when the ball is snapped and you're playing football, it's still a game, and it's still 100 yards long, and it's still 10 yards for a first down. And when you get locked into those things, that's all you see in those spots, right? I think it's great exposure for our university because it puts our name on a big brand, but that's exciting to be able to see. But it also is really encouraging because the game is still the game, right? Doesn't matter how big and how small. We love having support. We love having people there. We love having a packed house. But at the end of the day is that you do what you do because you love the game, right? And it's fun to see that even in those huge environments, it's still the purest game that there is, that if you do the things the right way, that you're going to have success.
Something that I know that you do not only in the big arenas or maybe the smaller arenas, which I think is something that's great that nobody sees except those of us that are at the game as early as you. When you get somewhere in an opposing field, you usually go out and whatever kids are with you, you have four, and if some of them don't have something going on at home, they're with you, and you play catch with them, and you do that. Why do you do that, and how special is that for you?
Yeah, that's special to me, and I'm lucky my wife is able to get them to different places while she's got baseball and she's got all those other things. But being a coach's kid is not an easy life, right? They didn't choose this life. I chose this life. They just are tagging along for the ride in this piece. And so it's not easy. It's not easy to pick up and move. My oldest has gone to 5 different schools, and he's in 7th grade. That's not easy for that kid. My others are young in that spot. I want them to remember the opportunities that we got to spend together. I want them to have those times. And I'll be honest, early in my career, I was probably too insecure about myself. I thought, well, I had to be so focused on the game, I couldn't enjoy those moments with my kids. But the reality is not true. You can enjoy that moment and then get refocused back into that. And if we can't do it with families, it's just not worth doing it. And those kids deserve to be able to be at places like Carter-Finley. They deserve to be at Dowdy-Ficklin. They deserve those opportunities to be able to walk on those fields. And if you're going to take the tough things, you need to take the good things with it as well. And that's important to me. My dad was a coach, and he was able to do those things with me. I remember one time somebody made a comment, your dad's a coach, where you must have never saw him. And I was like, no, I saw him all the time. I was up there with him all the time. I was on the sideline. I want my kids to have those same memories as well.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think it was your oldest that was the first one to congratulate Randall King when he caught that touchdown
absolutely.
Take the lead.
They're excited on the sidelines, and they love it every day.
Well, absolutely. Well, and we love having you here, and we love the win. And Coach, we can't wait to see you back out there at Barker Lane Stadium on Saturday at 3:30.
Yes, sir. It'll be a great afternoon, rain or shine. It'll be a great day to be a Camel.
All right. Thank you so much. He's our head football coach, Braxton Harris, and his Campbell Fighting Camels. We'll be back at Barker Lane Stadium coming up this Saturday at 3:30. Tickets at GoCamels.com. It's Military Appreciation Day. We'll have a special presentation at halftime from some of our ROTC members, and also military discounts for active and veterans, the least we can do for those who have fought for this country. We will be back here at Napper Tandy's on Thursday, October 22nd. That will be a couple days after the homecoming game to get you set for the final third of the season. If you miss any of the show, it'll be posted on our Camel Call podcast later this week. We're on Apple, Spotify, SoundCloud, YouTube, and at GoCamels.com. Just search the Camel Call podcast. For Dustin Fonder and Braxton Harris, I'm Chris Hamar saying so long. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week. Roll Humps.